Good morning. It is Wednesday, July the 17th, in the year of our Lord 2024. And yes, it is a special day in my family because it is my mother's birthday. So happy birthday, Mom. I love you. Well, it's a good day to begin with consecration, isn't it? My mom has certainly lived a consecrated life. So, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Keep Up Your Courage, the Lord is Near. Our text is Acts chapter 23, verses 12 through 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here." But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him." So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, "Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you." The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside, and asked, "What is it you want to tell me?" He said, "Some Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them, because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They've taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request." The commander dismissed the young man with this warning, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported this to me." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. There was a closing word in yesterday's reading we can't miss. It's so important, I will delay commenting on today's text with hopes to cover it tomorrow. But then there's tomorrow's text to deal with. That's the trouble with Scripture. We can never adequately cover it all. The word from yesterday came in the last verse of the reading, verse 11. "That night the Lord stood near him," Paul, "and said, 'Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome.'" Remember how Jesus ended his great commission to his disciples? "And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's Matthew 28, around verse 20. I like to imagine Paul standing up in top Leslie Nielsen form in the spirit of his airplane movies saying, "We know that, and stop calling me Shirley." Well, all kidding aside, today's text is an incredible snapshot of Jesus keeping his promise. It also gives us another glimpse into the nature of Paul's relationship with Jesus. That night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Keep up your courage. For just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome." The words are a stunning example of encouragement, but it's the gesture that gets me. The Lord stood near him. It sounds exceptional and unusual, as though this were a rare occurrence. I think this reality of the Lord standing near us is the norm of a Holy Spirit-filled life, rather than the exception. We simply are not attuned enough to the Holy Spirit to recognize this most of the time, or our circumstances are not desperate enough. Being strong in the Lord is not about mustering up the courage to stand on your convictions. Being strong in the Lord comes from being directly encouraged by the Lord Himself. This encouragement can come in the form of another person or in the form of a strong yet quiet inner impression of the Lord speaking to you. It can come in any way the Lord chooses to deliver it. In any case, in either case, He is standing there near to you, not metaphorically, but literally. I'm also convinced this reality of the Lord speaking directly to us is the norm of a Holy Spirit-filled life, rather than the exception. The Lord is always speaking. I only hear Him when I quiet myself long enough to really listen. Listening for the whisper of the Holy Spirit is a cultivated skill which must become part of our discipleship. Over time, one learns both to trust the inward impressions and to test them. The biggest impediment to this happening for most people is they don't believe this kind of thing really happens anymore. The truth, for those who don't believe it, it rarely happens. Those who will suspend their disbelief and risk faith can expect surprises and enter into a whole new level of learning to enjoy the Lord and adventure with Him. Paul needed to know the Lord's nearness that night, and he needed to hear those words, "Keep up your courage." I need to hear them regularly myself, especially now. How about you? The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And I know that means sensing your nearness to me, from within me. So I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. I receive the assurance of your nearness and release my felt sense of isolation. And I receive the confidence of your voice and release my skepticism that you speak to me. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father. Amen. The journal prompts. Do you ever sense the Lord standing near to you? How do you hear Him speaking to you? What is He saying? What might keep you from hearing? And do you believe He wants to speak to you? And if not, why not? Today, we're going to sing a hymn today that I've never actually sung, but it just seems like the right hymn. It's called Stand By Me. It's number 352 in our Seedbed Hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise. Stand By Me, 352. So I'm going to do my best. I'm also not a very good reader of music, but I've got a sense of the tune. Let's go for it. Five verses. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me, stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me, stand by me. When I've done the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, Thou who knowest all about me, stand by me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me, stand by me. When my foes in war array undertake to stop my way, Thou who rescued Paul and Silas, stand by me, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O Thou lily of the valley, stand by me, stand by me. Amen. Well, that's a first, and I sense a lot of you knew that hymn. I could hear you. I could hear you, and I could hear some of you saying, you know what, you're kind of missing that melody a little bit. You're missing some of those notes. But, you know, I did my best, and boy, is that a good prayer. Stand by me. And the thing is, friends, this is where we got to wake up. He is standing by us. I think about the fact that Jesus ascended, right? He went through the veil. He's not somewhere over the rainbow. He's there, and because he's there, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's here. Remember, Jesus ascended from here to there so that he could go from there to everywhere, which includes right here, right now. And this is the kind of Holy Spirit-infused consciousness that we must appropriate and increasingly appreciate in our lives. What gets in the way of this? Anxiety does. Fear does. Despair does. That's why that prayer of transformation is so important. Think about the text, I believe it's in Philippians, where it says, "Let your gentleness be made known to all. The Lord is near." And that's just another way of saying, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. Sometimes we've got to sort of do that work of cultivating and calling forth gentleness, because anxiety, it robs us of that. It creates an inner turmoil. It creates the raging storm, the winds and the waves inside of us because of our circumstances. And I mean, those are real. But there's something more real in the midst of that, and it's the nearness of the Lord. Let your gentleness be made known to all. You see, in a situation, it's that anxiety is contagious, but so is gentleness. The Lord is near. Then the text goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Make your requests known to Jesus. That's so instructive. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I mean, you know, that scripture is one we've seen on little placards, and we sort of salute it, and we think, yeah, I get it, I got it, I've read it, I've done it, I got the t-shirt, I understand it. But you know what? I don't think we do understand it. I think we need to actually make camp in the midst of that word. Write it down. Write it slowly in your journal. Focus on those words. Allow those words to interact with your spirit, to forge something deep in your heart and your mind mentality. That whole little text, Philippians, maybe it's in chapter 4, I think. Stand by me. That's how we cultivate and appropriate and appreciate the sense of the Lord, the literal reality of Him standing by me, by you. All right. Well, I've got to get with the celebration of my mom's birthday today. So that's the field I'm going to be on today. I'll be looking for you on your field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.